Hi, I'm Kathy Forsty, music director at KC Cafe Radio. It's a great pleasure to spend some time chatting with a very popular songwriter in Kansas City, Wyatt Brewer. Wyatt writes songs about life and love. His style is very laid back and honest. Wyatt's first CD, Factory Made, will be released on December 10th, 2016. Wyatt, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today on KC Cafe Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kathy.
I know you're from the Kansas City area. Where did you grow up in Kansas City?
Well, actually, I grew up a little bit in both. My dad lived down in the Westport area while I was growing up as a private security guard. And then my mom lived up north as a police officer. And so I kind of got the best of both worlds. I got the true spirit of Kansas City in the Midtown area. But then I also got the up north feeling of the natural suburbia and the basic neighborhood life.
Is your mom and dad musical?
My dad is actually musical. He's the one that got me started with music. My whole time growing up, he had a four-track reel-to-reel home recording deck. And from the time I was a baby, I would go in and listen to him do take after take and record songs at home because he was a stay-at-home dad. That's what he did. And then as I got older, when I was 4 and 5, I got to help plug in wires and kind of figure things out. And so, yeah, that definitely got my start in recording.
I know you've got some family that's also fairly well-known in the music business as well.
Yeah, I am the nephew of Mike Brewer of Brewer & Shipley, who wrote One Toke Over the Line in the 1970s. And he comes through town every now and then. And him and Tom actually just got through playing at Grinders a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that was good to see them always. But yeah.
Have you ever got to play with them or do any shows with them?
Only at home. Sometimes I get to play with them and things like that, but I've never, and I got to open for my uncle once when he was doing a solo gig at Jerry's Bake Shop in Lee Summit about 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, that's
and that
cool.
was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know where that is. It's no longer Jerry's Bake Shop. It's called something else now. It's called Conrad's now, I think. Yeah. But yeah, that's very cool. I wish I would have known that. You know, you talk about your dad being really heavy into music. Who were his musical influences and who was he influencing you to listen to as a
kid? You know, he was heavily influenced by the Beatles. In fact, we just got through going downtown and seeing the new 8 Days a Week. And that was his whole world and still is musically. Although he's played a lot of other things like Bob Dylan and everything in the 60s and 70s. And so myself, when I was learning, when he taught me guitar at age 10, he had this old notebook lying around from when he used to play at restaurants and nightclubs. And sometimes he would play 8 hours at a time. So he had a book that had easily 120, maybe even more songs in there from that era. And so I'd pick out the ones that I could play with just with my few basic chords and my haphazard strum pattern. And I would find whatever I could. And then I'd listen to it on Oldies 95 back in the day to figure out how to match it up. And that kind of helped me get my start on learning a lot of music from that era.
And were you playing acoustic guitar back then as a kid? And what kind of guitar was it?
Oh my goodness, it was, I still have it. I'm looking at it actually. It was a $70 Gremlin guitar. That is the name of it. A Gremlin, yes.
I have never heard of that one.
Yeah, no one has, and I'm pretty sure that no one's ever seen one since. But it was a $70 used guitar at CNC Drum and Guitar on North Oak back in the day, and that was my very first instrument that I kind of got acquainted with. Way too hard to hold down the strings. But it allowed you to really feel what you needed to do and how you needed to get stronger and better with this instrument.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's better for kids to learn on, I mean, if they're going to be dedicated to it, it's better for them to learn on a harder instrument to play, because that way you really get your fingers worked in and you really learn, you know, this takes work to do this, you know? It's not
absolutely.
It's not easy.
Oh, and then the moment you move up and get that first nice guitar, an intermediate guitar, that's a wow, I sound like $1 million because I'm now playing on a much better instrument and I'm trained for a lot, for something a lot tougher.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, I know my first guitar was called a Lindell guitar. I've never even seen one of those before either, but that was my first guitar. And, you know, it was one of those junkers too. I think mine costs maybe $40 or something.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, but it wasn't a Walmart guitar, so we're doing all right there.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, Sears and back in the day, Sears and Montgomery Ward actually made some decent guitars.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the K guitars, that's where they came from.
Wow.
Yep. Anyway, I'm a big gearhead when it comes to guitars and things because I work in a music store, so I like talking about guitars. So we talked about your dad and the influences he had. Who were some of the influences you have that weren't necessarily shared with your dad?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of different influences, but I've never completely followed any particular band or artist. There's things that I like from so many different groups, and I try to take the things that are strong for me. It's, I love some of the things Ed Sheeran does. His imagery and his wording is great. I fell in love with Evanescence in the early 2000s because of their intensity, but I don't want to be a heavy metal band like them. But I try to take on the vocal intensity like the main female singer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Alt-J, who's fairly new on the scene for the past couple of years in the alternative realm, they're so new age and over the top, it's not really something that I would want to do. But I love how they can change in the middle of a song and almost go into a whole nother song on their breakaways. And I wanted to embody that in my writing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few answers of people that have inspired me in creating my own sound.
As far as playing other styles, have you ever played in a rock band or anything like that, or have you always done solo work?
I've almost always done solo work. I've never played in a band. Now, my style over the years has switched many times. I generally stay to the pop genre because it's the, you can say almost anything as pop. I could do something with folk and banjos, and that would be considered pop.
Mm-hmm.
I could do something with heavy synthesized beats and no real instruments at all and still call it pop. And so I try to stay in that genre. But whenever I enter competitions, because it's broad enough to hold all the different aspects of my musical personality. The only other time that I haven't worked solo, I actually have a co-writer named Sarah, and I met her a few years back, and we started writing some songs together and ended up getting some placements and small songwriting competitions, and she's actually on the single that I'm releasing this week, We'll Be Fine.
Her name is Sarah Lynn.
Sarah Lynn.
Tell everybody how you met. I think that's a very interesting story.
Well, she worked at the restaurant that I work at. And on that I'm the trainer for all the new people. And on that particular morning, the manager that was in training from Oklahoma did not show up. None of the other openers that were supposed to help me open the restaurant. And so I had an entire restaurant to open all by myself. And this girl walks in, and in front of the whole kitchen crew that are in the back, she says, yes, I'm here to be training with someone named Winston. And they all lose it, because the first thing this girl does when she walks into the restaurant is botch my name, and I already have nothing to work with. And shortly thereafter that, she ended up literally moving into my closet as she had some issues with a boyfriend at the time and got kicked out on the street. And so to keep her from that fate, well, she got her apartment figured out. She spent 2 weeks living in my closet. And it was during that time that we ended up pulling out guitars, and she helped me finish a song that I had started writing like 5 years before that. And I always knew that that song was a duet. But every time I started to work with a different artist, it never felt right. You know, it was like the Cinderella slipper thing. Something just wouldn't feel right, and so I just docked the song again. But the moment I started playing the song, just goofing around late at night with guitars, she immediately started singing something neat. And I was like, oh, we got to write that down. And by the end of the next morning, we had our first song named Color. And you can actually find an acoustic version of that song on Spotify, Color by Wyatt Brewer and Sarah Lynn.
So the new single is called We'll Be Fine, and it's out right now on iTunes and Amazon, correct?
That is correct.
All right, very cool. Just to go back a little bit here with the way you got started in music, you mentioned you won like talent contests and things as a teenager as well?
Yes, I won when I was 16, I won my sophomore talent show. And that was doing a song that my dad wrote called James Boy's Right. And that's almost always what I start my shows with, because it's one of the first songs that I knew even growing up. That was one of those songs I was telling you about that he was writing on that 4-track when I was a baby. So I still use that song, and I chose a new pace for it and switched out a couple words here and there. But that's the song I used at that particular talent show. Mm-hmm. Where I ended up winning.
Does your dad like your version?
Yes, he does. Yeah. And in fact, at the time, he didn't even know that I was going to do that song. So when he went to the talent show and was recording it and stuff, he had no idea that I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I did this neat chunking beat thing with my thumb muscle that I just recently learned, mm-hmm. which gives a good rhythmic flair to a quick strum on guitar. And that's become like a meat and potatoes anytime I kick it up a notch to have that chunk sound in there that that your thumb can make. And he really enjoyed it.
At what point did you start writing? How old were you when you started writing?
I actually, I figured it out when I was 14 years old. I was walking home from an open mic at Dirk's Bar and Grill, and I had walked about 3 miles to get there. So I'm walking back really late at night with my guitar, crossing all these parking lots, and I start humming this song. And I was trying to attribute it, like, where did I hear that song? Realized I didn't, but words started coming to me. And so I went home, turned on my computer, and just started writing the words that I felt. And within a couple hours, I had my very first song. And actually, Ron Davidson, who owned an open mic at that time, when I was getting to do those around town in my teenage years, he ended up coming over and laying a nylon string part at my dad's house where I was recording it, and made it a big to-do, and it felt so cool. And I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to write songs. I want to have friends come in and do little musical cameos on there. And yeah,
that's very
that's
cool.
What got me.
And that was what you said, 14?
When I was 14, yes. So yeah. 12 years ago.
Wow. Awesome. So do you sit down and you decide every day that you're going to write at a certain time, or do you just write when the inspiration hits you? What's your technique as far as songwriting?
I do a little bit of both. So I know that when the perfect moment strikes, great songs will just hit you. And I've heard a lot of songwriters say that down through time, that they weren't even thinking of a song at that moment. But then something just comes right out of you, and you're like, wow, that was awesome. But at the same time, I make it a practice each day at some point. Sometimes it's on a break at work. Sometimes it's late at night when I get home, or early in the morning when I'm having coffee. But I write a little bit. And the reason I do is that it keeps your mind sharp and prepared for those moments. And sometimes you can still come up with some good songs. And then you're ready for when that inspiration strikes, because you already have that creative muscle upkept.
So the new album is called Factory Made, and it's going to come out in December, December 10th. Tell me about the song, the title track, Factory Made.
So the title track is actually inspired when I read this article before they ever had a trailer that HBO was redoing the Westworld series from Michael Crichton in the 1970s with Yul Brynner, except instead of having it be from the human's perspective or just a small backstory on that, you can go to this this amusement park that's like a Western society. And there you can be anything you want. You can be the hero sheriff that saves the day. You can be the evil criminal that robs banks. You get to be with the saloon girls and drink in the bars and have gunfights. And everything and everyone there is an android. You can barely tell because they're almost completely human in every way. And they believe that they really live in the Wild West. And the twist is, at night, they get taken in and have repairs done to them because they're always getting shot up and everything. And they see this futuristic world, and it's like being abducted by aliens, pretty much. But they figure out that that world is not real at all, and that they're slaves to the humans. And so they fight back. And that's what immediately inspired me when I read that they had taken this whole new approach to a classic film that I love. And it made me want to write the song. Mm-hmm. Where it was like from that perspective of finding out that the world around you is false, and so you become factory made, mm-hmm. and how you rise above and become superior to it.
Very cool. And once again, that album's going to come out on December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
What other tracks can we expect? I know the only track that I've heard so far is the single We'll Be Fine with Sarah Lynn, and I know it's really well produced and has just an amazing sound to it. Are the other songs like that? Do they have that full produced sound, or are they more acoustic sounding? What can I expect from the rest of the CD when I hear it?
You're going to have a different experience with every song, but you're never going to lose the production value. I went through Matt Richards of Hope Studios. He has a home studio in Grandview, but you can never tell that it's a home studio because you walk into the basement and it's just a gorgeous studio with full sound booths, always has a brand new fancy microphone. But his skill as a producer is phenomenal. And the first thing that I told him was, you know, whenever I'm doing music, like I said earlier, I don't like one song to sound like another song. And so Factory Made is actually a heavy, almost alternative and mechanized sounding song. But then Will Be Fine is like a fully produced, it almost sounds like a musical soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a friend named Andrea Johnson who came in with her violin for a much more acoustic song called Playlist. And she came in on that. And so that's almost violin and guitar with just a little bit of drums and a tambourine added. And mm-hmm. so once again, even the softer songs have such a nice rhythm and balance to them, to where you're always getting that full produced sound, even if there's only two or three instruments going at a single moment.
That's nice. So what's your goal with this CD? Is it to find a major label, or what do you want the outcome to be with releasing the CD?
Well, my outcome with this CD, I really want placement in TV and movies, commercials, and that's why I write like that, music that goes in any direction, because there's so many different avenues and ways that things can get out there. So that's mainly what I want to do with it. I would not be opposed to a major label wanting me should that first part happen, but I don't actually make the music for that. For me, I love writing songs, and I love getting them out there. And I know that the more I do that, I will receive more from that. And yes, money's in there too, but more importantly, I get to play in front of more people. I get more people to hear my music. And that is the ultimate goal of this EP in general, is getting to do that.
And are you going to do a tour for this CD, or what's your plans with promoting it?
You know, I'm actually not going on tour for the CD. I'm sticking close to home. And mainly, this is actually my first CD that I've come out with, so I'm testing the waters a little bit. I do have a CD release party planned at the Tank Room, although I don't have the specific date nailed down. I don't know if it'll be December 10th yet or not, so I'll have to keep you posted on my website, www.wyattbrewer.com, for that. But, yeah, I'm just getting to try it out and feel the waters for the first time. And so far, I'm really excited. So many people have come and helped me out with this, you included, Kathy. You've been extreme help since I first started really playing around town in March.
What other places do you play in Kansas City? I know you mentioned the Tank Room, which is, it's a small little venue in the Arts District, right?
Yes, and it is an amazing district. So it's awesome how many big bands end up going into that. A lot of alternative bands coming through town play in there, and it's a packed house, so it's a smaller bar. But also, I played at Luna Coffee in Lee Summit, thanks to you. Luna Coffee's in North Kansas City. I played in Caribou Coffee at Lee Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also played at some small local festivals, the most recent one being the Swift Mile in North Kansas City. And I got to play at Lee Summit in the Park a couple months ago. And that's when you came and saw me, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a good show.
I'll play in the train that goes through with
Yeah, they don't warn you about that when they book you for that gig. They don't warn you that there's going to be a train to interrupt your show. So it's definitely an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So where can people find the CD when it's released?
You know, I'm going to release it through CD Baby, and I'm definitely going to have those links on the website I mentioned before, wyattbrewer.com. But I'm going to release it mainly through Amazon and iTunes for starts.
Yeah, CD Baby's a very good resource to have people go to. It. I think they're one of the first people who really started supporting independent artists. My first CD came out in 98, I think, and they've been around since then, so they're a very good source. And
very seasoned, apparently, too.
Yeah, they've been around for a little while. So people can find you at wyattbrewer.com. They can also find you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
The new single is called We'll Be Fine, which is out now. And they can go to iTunes or Amazon and find it and download it. And enjoy that. And then Factory Made will be out on December 10th, 2016. So be sure to go check that out once it's out. And he will have a CD release party at the Tank Room. So stay tuned for that information. So thanks so much, Wyatt, for sitting and talking with me. I have one more question I want to ask you.
All right.
This is my James Lipton moment that I like to pull on people. What is your favorite song of all time by someone else, and why?
You like to throw the curveballs, don't you?
That's me.
Well, I'm going to have to say that Lights by Journey. That's actually hands down my favorite song. And it sounds very generic, you know, oh, the Journey song is the best. But the thing that I fell in love with that song, I grew up with it my whole life, but it wasn't until I heard the story behind that it actually was because one of their bandmates passed away. And so the song is about going on the road but no longer having one of your friends there. Their charms are gone. Everything about them that made them part of the group is no longer there, but you're still having to sing the same songs and the music. That just touched me on such a base level, because, you know, all the people in my life, all the musical people that I get to work with and everything, I couldn't imagine life without. So it affects me deeply to think about what that would be like to have to sing on when they're no longer there.
Yeah, that's a great song. That's probably, I know a lot of people like the older, the songs by Journey from the early 80s or something, but mm-hmm. I like the early stuff. I've always, like, any of the bands from that 80s era when they became like those arena rock bands. I like the earlier stuff, you know, Lights is a good example of that. And I think that's a great tune. That's a good, selection. But the new CD is called Factory Made. Check Wyatt Brewer out at Wyatt Brewer. That's WYATTBREWER.com. And the new singles Will Be Fine with Sarah Lynn. Go to iTunes and Amazon and download that today. Thank you again, Wyatt, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a great night.